Good evening, folks. I'm Chris Daly, and I'm privileged to enter into conversation yet again with a Jamaican who's making a positive difference. Today, we have the privilege to speak to Mr. Horace McCormack. Horace is the president and CEO of HGM Management and Technologies Incorporated. It is an international consultant, trainer, and researcher who has advised public and private sector leaders on change management here in the 21st century. He is not just a CEO, but very active in his community. He's an active Rotarian, and he currently serves as District 7610 as chairman of the World Community Services, district ambassador to the Caribbean, and serves on the District Safety Blood Committee. He's past assistant district governor for 2004 to 2006, although currently he's the district governor for most of Virginia. He has the hobbies of golf, cricket, and reading. He's very active in his church, where he serves on the Church Council of Faith Moravian Church in the nation's capital. He serves on the Board of Trustees. He's married, and he has one daughter. Horace, welcome to our conversation this evening.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Happy to be here.
Wonderful. Well, let's begin by talking a little about your Jamaican roots. Where do you hail from in Jamaica?
Chris, I was actually born in Kingston, and I spent my early years living there in downtown Kingston, close to Kingston College there, you know, those areas. And I then, as a youngster, moved with my dad, who worked in the sugar industry, to St. Elizabeth, and lived there in Appleton, St. Elizabeth, for a while he worked with the organization there. And went to school there for a while, and then returned to Kingston to attend high school at St. Andrew Technical High before moving on to the, at the time, the College of Arts, Science, and Technology, but now the University of Technology, and then the University of the West Indies.
All right. You seem like you had a very successful career there, but you decided to migrate to the United States. What motivated that move?
Well, you know, I worked during that time with the Jamaica Public Service Company. I became an engineering professional there and moved up to management, and found the need in mid-management to gain more educational training, and to focus on a change from electrical engineering, which was my early degree, to industrial engineering, which would place me in a position to look more at the supply chain of organizations.
Okay.
My parents had already migrated, and my siblings had gone ahead, and so in my family, I was the last one there, and that just attracted me to move to the United States, where I landed in New York for school purposes and to further my career.
Okay. But you did not stop there. In 1997,
no.
You started this company where you're now the CEO of this very successful company, HGM Management Technologies. Our audience contains lots of youngers and others who have a strong desire to have deeper business success. Tell us a little about your journey in becoming forming your company and becoming its CEO.
Well, it happened through my educational training. I got a bachelor's degree in industrial engineering, which is what I had set as my target, and then a master's degree in management, which is like an MBA. Then I started to read up on many successful entrepreneurs and people who were making things happen in organizations, and my love for leading an organization heightened during that time. But It happened because of, my looking at the quality revolution and seeing getting a chance to work in that environment to help organizations achieve excellence, that got me closer to how organizations were operating and showed me just how I could lead something and make it a success. With good family support behind me, my wife supported me along the way, and we have one daughter who also works with us today. I was able to follow a dream to Northern Virginia, close to Washington, D.C., to help run another business, and it made it successful, and then developed the courage to start HGM Management and Technologies, Inc.
So there's some courage. That's one of the traits that you need to really launch out into the deep here. So are there any principles that you would say are major principles someone should consider?
Definitely. You've got to have vision, first of all, and you've got to have the inner strength and the understanding that things won't always go smoothly, and you've got to have patience and tenacity because, you know, building a business takes a tremendous effort and drive from any individual to make it happen. You need to be a people person at the same time. You can't focus all the time on your technical needs and requirements, but you've got to focus on your people, your human capital, because everyone has got to go along with you and understand the vision, mission, and strategic priorities of what you're attempting to accomplish. So all those things put together, and of course, build in that business ethics, and professionalism, you find that you could make the initial startup and continue through lean times and flourishing times, if you will.
Yes. It seemed like it's been a winning formula for you because your company has been recognized given many rewards for its excellence as an excellent enterprise. Is there any specific of the many awards that you've received that really outstanding for you, that you really felt most affirmed by?
Yes. We were awarded the Washington, D.C. Chamber of Commerce's Small Business of the Year a few years ago, and actually that was in 2004, and that came as a real surprise to us, but really a welcoming one, because we were not as well known in the Washington, D.C. area, despite the fact we were around for a few years, and that certainly got us, people's attention and got us a lot of hits on our website, and we experienced growth through that. That meant the world to us because we were being recognized by our peers in terms of companies within the Washington, D.C. area. And as you might know, the Washington, D.C. Chamber of Commerce is the largest of the chambers in this region. So that meant something special to us. Another one is when we picked up an award by a more national organization called DiversityBusiness.com, and they look across the country and recognize small businesses and medium-sized businesses and as well as large to see how they're progressing. We've been able to repeat that award a few times. So we feel very special, and we feel recognized, and it's good to be known around the country.
Well, congratulations on your effort. But you don't stop there. You like giving back and being involved in your community, and that's very telling. You have been the district governor of a significant portion of Northern Virginia. First, share with us the goal and mission of a Rotary Club, and then the scope of being a district manager that's within the Rotary organization.
Very good. Thank you so much, Chris. You know, as you said, you've got to give to the community, and that's a very, very important factor when you're a business professional and one who's attempting to impact lives, whether locally or internationally. And I've found through the years that I could impact an individual by walking the streets and helping someone out. But through an organization such as Rotary, we are able to impact the lives of people internationally. The mission of Rotary International, a worldwide association of Rotary clubs, is to provide service to others, promote high ethical standards, and advance world understanding, goodwill, and peace through its fellowship of business, professional, and community leaders. I value the opportunity to be a leader in Rotary. I belong to the Rotary Club of Falls Church, and having served as its president in the year 2000 to 2001, I went on to work at the district level, where I coordinated programs across the district, which covers most of Northern Virginia. And ultimately, I ended up being the district governor through a nomination process. So today, for the year 2009 to 2010, starting on July 1 through June 30th of 2010, that is, I will be regarded internationally as the official representative of Rotary International and its district governor for Northern Virginia.
Wonderful. Well, you on this month, August 29th and 30th, your club is sponsoring a fantastic cultural event. It's a play, a Caribbean play, Which Way Out. Tell us a little about this play.
Yes. This play was written by Mr. Basil Dawkins, who is a well-known playwright from Jamaica. And he's produced a number of these types of productions, and they've been very successful both in Jamaica and around the Caribbean and internationally. So we thought that as a part of our efforts to build fun and entertainment for the people of Northern Virginia and the surrounding communities, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, the Rotary District will bring this play here to the area and to bring a sense of Caribbean fever, so to speak, into Northern Virginia. The play, its description suggests that it follows a long tradition of issue-oriented plays rooted in the Jamaican experience, which theatergoers are all over the world continue to find relevant, current, engaging, and entertaining. That's the play, Which Ways Out. So we hope that it will be well supported by people from the entire diaspora at that time of August 29th and 30th. And it's being held at Northern Virginia Community College in Annandale.
Okay. And so it's on the map. It's a very easy place to get to. But even beyond that, you're doing this as a way of supporting the Rotary Foundation for polio eradication. Most folks are now focused on swine flu or AIDS, but polio? Why polio?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that question. Yes, a part of this, the proceeds from this play, net proceeds that would be, goes towards polio eradication. And polio, why? Because Rotary International undertook the leadership back in 1985 to support the eradication of polio and and we have been very successful over the years. Back then, polio was existing in 125 countries around the world. And those of us from Jamaica, we knew of the impact of polio there and what it has done in the West and the United States and so forth. And now, today, due to the efforts of Rotary and a number of other organizations, polio is only visible and detected in countries, Pakistan, India, Afghanistan, and Nigeria. And we would like to end that in this very short order here. So a major effort is on the way, supported by Bill Gates of Microsoft, who's now putting his support behind this effort as well, and other leaders across the world, because it's really damaging the future and lifestyle of many kids in such countries. Rotary's commitment to polio has driven us in District 7610 to help to generate interest from the community and support from the community, and these funds will go towards our polio fund, which will eventually end up in those countries to purchase vaccines and to help the volunteers there with their efforts.
Well, this is such a worthy cause. How would one go about getting securing tickets for this stellar event?
It's very easy. Tickets can be obtained by calling the following numbers. 202-467-8034, 202-467-8034, and the tickets, reservations and tickets can be made there. Another number is 540-370-0300. So it's 540-370-0300, or just log on to www.rotary7610.org. We welcome everyone to come out, and tickets will be on sale at the door on the 29th and 30th, with those two showings, and it will be 7 p.m. on the Saturday, the 29th, and 6 p.m. on Sunday, the 30th of August, and all are welcome to come out and enjoy and participate in this worthwhile event.
Boy, the month of August has been such a celebratory month for at least Jamaicans with the sprint records that we've set and maybe others setting. What a great event to come on and to give back to our community in a different way for this worthy cause. The logo of the Rotary Club has always been intriguing to me. It said, "The future of Rotary is in your hands." What does this mean to you?
Well, it is very, very important to me because it's the year that I'm serving as district governor, and this logo, the future of Rotary, the future of Rotary is in your hands, was developed by our president of Rotary International, and I represent him here. I'm aligned with the theme, and I encourage all my 52 Rotary clubs to be aligned with that theme. It essentially means that all Rotarians today worldwide, 1.2 million strong around the world, have relied on others who have gone on before or currently rely on others to make things happen for the benefit of mankind globally. So we in these economic times, we're looking out into the future and depending on each other and the community to help us along to bring about the dreams of some of these young people and people who are less fortunate across the world. Hence, the future of Rotary is in our hands.
Wow, that's a powerful symbol.
Yes.
Indeed. Close, is there any nuggets that you'd like to part with the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be on here, and I just want to wish everyone out there who's listening to this broadcast that a successful career in whatever and whatever of future ventures they may take on. I think we have to think about humanity as we take on our various careers, and that's why we are belonging to Rotary, and I want to thank all our Rotarians for what they do and ask them all to come on out and support us and the people of the Caribbean to do the same. This is what life is about, to get together and have fun when we think about others.
Thank you so much, Mr. McCormick, for your leadership and your creative means in engaging our community for such a worthy cause.
Thank you very much indeed.